AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Johnny G, John Gabrus, joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout. Hell yeah, dude. Premium content. Thanks for subscribing, man. Please click like. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios is returning guest, formerly the most recurring guest on High and Mighty, still might hold the title due to some bad decisions of the past, Ben Rogers from the Action Boys podcast and Sean Clements from Hollywood Handbook and other episodes of High and Mighty as well. Guys, thank you for joining me here.
I mean, obviously, I should have my dog here for this particular episode.
And of all the dogs to be
but
here,
he is, I should have put Arthur to sleep. He is at work with his mom, and he will squeak a toy a lot on Hollywood Handbook because he comes to those recordings, and people will hear it. And a lot of people will write, even my dog can enjoy this show. Because they get excited about the squeaking toy.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
There was one time that we were doing a teaser freezer, a segment on Hollywood Handbook. For all the High and Mighty listeners that don't know, we will break down a movie teaser for the audience. And in the teaser...
They can get
teaser,
this on the pro version, right?
Yes. That is where they can get it now. We stopped doing that stuff on the real show. So in the teaser, someone rang a doorbell. And Bosch, who was sound asleep, like on the other side of the room, and only could have heard it through our headphones, jumped up and started barking like super aggressively and visually, and it scared everyone. And then I also was mad at Hayes because he refused to admit that it was because of the doorbell. Like, I was like, well, he's never done it before. and he does do it when someone rings the doorbell, like, at our house.
Yes.
And so it was. And he's like, he couldn't have heard that. He's all ears.
Should we make a podcast for dogs that's all, like, knocking and, like, yeah, people and,
well,
skateboards going by?
There's already
by
dog TV.
My Arthur would not be a fan of dog TV either because he barks at dogs on TV and horses and sometimes orcs. Like, it's weird because...
Sometimes orcs, something that would only come up for you.
Yeah, I know. Well, he barks at the... To be fair, he barks at the Uruk-hai, but not really at the traditional orcs. Grab that blue ball underneath you. This is all... This is a podcast for dogs at this point. Is that what you wanted?
Sean and I were at the dog park, and we saw a German Shepherd that had three balls in its mouth.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I thought that sentence was going a different way literally every word. Like, saw this German Shepherd who had three legs, three balls in its mouth. Like, I could not guess where it was going to end.
And it looked like he had two in his mouth. And we were like, is he carrying two? And then when he opened his mouth and put him down, three came out. It was like,
and then he picked up all three. He was like, well, back to work.
Did he have them like in a row, skee ball style? Or were they perfect?
No, like a triangle.
One was underneath. Yeah.
One was underneath and two.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It was like they were propping his mouth open.
It rocked.
You get a dog home from the dog park, he just opens his mouth. It's like Jaws. There's like a license plate and a boot and shit in there.
Now, to bring us back around to topic, this is the first season of Bosch that's come out since you've gotten your dog named Bosch.
Correct.
And
named for
it was really
Herodotus.
It definitely, I thought about it constantly.
I couldn't even remember what it was as I said it.
The whole show, it continually made me think about your dog.
Right.
It was weird because, I met Bosch in between these two. I mean, we all did. I met Bosch shortly after Sean did.
Well, and we had decided during season one of Bosch, which my wife and I started watching, and she pointed out, like, Bosch would be a good dog name. And I was like, yeah, we got to get a dog named Bosch. And that was during season one. And then I think throughout, like, season two, we started going to rescues and meeting dogs.
Is this Bosch?
Yes, that's right. And being like, are you Bosch? Because we had to find Bosch.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
The name had to fit the dog.
I'm sure if you would have fallen in love with a different dog, then
maybe
fits.
And there was,
else.
And I came close to
you would have, like,
getting
a little
this, like, female dog,
Jay
which
Edgar.
Obviously we would have had to, yeah, name Jane or something. But we...
Some stupid-ass name like Jane.
I'm like a chump.
Name like Jane or something, who knows?
But we would have had a different name in that case. But as it stands, we did find a good boy, and then his name was Bob.
And he is, not only is he a great dog, great name, much like, but also fits his name.
Yes,
Bosch,
I think
seems
so.
Not at all like Harry Bosch.
No, he's different. Yeah, he's
but
a different
he,
kind of guy.
He's made Bosch his own name. He's Bosch-like, but not Harry Bosch-like.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes. And the character and the dog are different in many ways, but they have some similarities as well.
Both love jazz.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I can't tell you how often I come home and Bosch is just grooving out to some
fucking
pepper.
Yeah, or like Charlie Parker just like doing a solo and fucking getting lost in it.
Well, he'll tell me to go and do something and he'll go, oh, and turn the radio up while you're at it. There's a Ben Webster solo coming up.
And Bosch is super opinionated about the best food around LA and is also pretty good at directions.
He knows turn-by-turn directions just about everywhere. And it's not the best food because it's not high-end food.
No.
It's more hole-in-the-wall divey food around LA. But he'll be like, this
I'd
is
much
the best.
Rather have. Yeah,
he'll be like, this is the best chicken. This is the best, like, taco stand.
I know he doesn't like to talk about it, but your dog's mother was a prostitute, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean,
he's a rescue.
Right. Yeah. He was born in an orphanage, essentially. Yeah. I mean, he was born in a shelter.
But you have tracked down and killed his mother's killer.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Man, if I found who abandoned his mother. His mother was abandoned, like tied to a post somewhere, and then brought into a high kill shelter. And then when they got her into the rescue, she had puppies, and he was one of the puppies.
And there is some connection to Mayor Garcetti.
Well,
it goes all the way to the top.
That's been the issue for me, is I'm kind of bumping my head against the ceiling of where my investigation can go. I don't have clearance because these are extremely powerful people involved. But yeah, it's
Garcetti is involved.
It's Garcetti. It's I don't like to say his name because then it kind of he sicks his hounds on me.
What if we talked about Bosch only through the lens of
only
your
about
dog,
the dog
for
yeah.
like the entire time? People
no,
are
no,
like...
well, no. Let's do it the super structured way you had planned, Gabrus. What's the?
So here's the super structure. We're in the Bosch pit. The only Bosch after show that comes out after five seasons has come out once. We're not doing any more episodes about Bosch. We've learned,
our fucking lesson.
I learned my lesson, and unfortunately, you guys had to learn it alongside me. Mm. That was not as fun as we thought it was.
When we did Banshee, that was pretty miserable.
Worst season of Banshee.
For the real diehards of High and Mighty, if you have not happened to listen to our special spinoff of the Fanshees, where we do 10... I was doing two episodes a week for 10 weeks. Barely knew how to do a podcast at this point.
Yeah, still it was dumb. Bad. We all said the same thing over and over again.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we did. We only had one episode's worth of points to make, and we just did it again and again.
Yeah, we just kept having in more and more people to sort of embarrass ourselves.
And we watched more and more, and it was a bad season of the show.
And it was the worst season of the show. Yeah, so it was getting...
yeah.
We like painted ourselves into the corner as like at episode
Super
three.
Fans.
I was like, this is great. I'm not enjoying it. And for you guys to not get to be absolutely destroying something is a lot. Before we get into talking Bosch, into the Bosch pit, I'd just like to read a few negative reviews of my podcast.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I always enjoy
these.
Yeah. So as always, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I have no idea if this shit even registers anymore. I don't think I'm getting any new listeners or climbing any charts. But
don't say that.
Give it a shot. You know, just rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments, and I will read it.
How many listeners do you have?
I don't know. That's a good question. I can't tell. 30,000? On some episodes, and a little bit more on others. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Okay, here we go. This is from Will S.A. Taylor. R.I.P. Gabrus in our ear, in our ears and our hearts. I'm really glad that I can listen to this record of the late John Gabrus. His combo heart attack stroke weren't much of a surprise to anyone. He was a really great comedian, but unfortunately he didn't take enough time to actually exercise. I think this is a great way to remember him. Love you forever, Gabrus. See you one day, unless you're burning in hell. You talked about your own diarrhea and your own dumps too much to get into heaven. Okay.
Yeah, my priest
to talk about somebody else's diarrhea.
Yeah. In confession, I always brought up, like, talking about diarrhea is the worst thing I ever did. And it's
talked about my own instead of
someone else's.
My father's.
don't covet your neighbor's diarrhea. All right. That is hardly a dig. It was mostly a compliment. I'm sorry, Will S.A. Taylor, but I'm going to edit that out. Not really. I'm not doing any extra effort. This is from Melon Sliver and or Melon Silver, and the title is A Real Nobody. It is really depressing that Juan Gabby is only funny on when he is pretending to be someone else and otherwise had no discernible talents besides interrupting more successful people when he is himself. Not only does no one know who you are, you don't even know. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
I do appreciate if someone just learned the English language that the first thing they do is comment on my podcast.
Do you have a big audience of English as a second language?
I have a big, a lot of the people who write reviews are clearly just woken up from a coma before the doctors pulled the railroad spike out of their temple. Mm-hmm. And they're like, gotta type something. And this is a record for Rogers having to pee. Oh, no, you're grabbing the dog. I was like, 5 minutes into a podcast is a new pee break. All right, we'll do one more, see if this is any good. And
you're talking about the railroad spike. It's the Phineas Gage review.
Oh, ooh, dude. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, deep cut.
Yeah.
Little psych class. This is the review is called Coroner's Report. I wonder what this is about. From Dr. Paul Kersey. Rogers, if you hear that. Mr. Gambrinus, the deceased, was discovered at the Crenshaw Boulevard Taco Bell early this morning. The bloated whale corpse was found on the toilet, wearing a leather choker with a sour cream gun jammed into his rectum. Based on the ejaculate-laden burrito wrappers and pictures of Steven Seagal strewn about the bathroom, the presumed cause of death is misadventure by attempted autoerotic asphyxiation, as he was unloved and unwanted by all family and friends. Taco Bell has agreed to process his 400-pound carcass into Mexi-Melt meat, bone meal filler, and 200 gallons of fryer oil. Wow, okay, that's just the end of it.
That's it, it just ends there. That's funny, man.
Hey, guys, hey, I'm going to be not fat someday, and then what are you going to talk about? That's what I say as a tear strolls down my cheek. Yeah, I'm not going to be fat forever, man. And by the way, I'm 301 now.
Bones.
Boy, this gimmick.
It's kind of losing steam. I mean, it's lost steam at episode like 40, but yeah. It's losing like I'm not even.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
either hurt too much or don't even faze me anymore.
You got to wonder, do you stop? Do you stop doing it?
And what I got to want, here's the thing. The problem is if I stop doing that, and it's crossed my mind, it's like the only thing I do on the podcast.
Okay, right. That's right. There is no longer any thread at that point, and the podcast is just adrift. Yeah. You won't know when you're doing the podcast anymore.
Right. It's just, yeah. It's like there's so little to this thing that I have thought about getting rid of this because I don't even really enjoy it. Yeah. Someone tweeted at me, it's becoming the Marc Maron stuff up top.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's like exactly what I thought I was doing. But now I don't want it. I kind of... But then at this
that
point...
That is what you thought you were doing? Like you were like, oh, good. Let me do this part the of stuff. The Marc Maron podcast that everyone yeah. skips yeah, uniformly that's since
all
day
I,
one.
That's all I listen to.
I don't really get like comedy or like comedy.
Yeah, I don't get the fucking interviews. Who wants to listen to the interview? I want to like. I want to know. I liked him as a stand-up.
I like first. His coffee commercials.
Yeah, I want to hear about his coffee, and I love hearing about his.
Well,
cat.
I don't like the coffee because he talks about his own diarrhea too much.
Yes, pal.
We kind of did it. Instead of cats, we talked about our dogs.
Oh yeah, we're at the dog ranch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I will.
It's a thin line between me and Marc Maron.
I think also this just sold me on getting rid of reading the negative reviews.
Yeah, maybe come up. You know what? Come up with like a new gimmick or a new way to request reviews so that it's not this, but so that there is still a segment at the top.
Yeah,
just so you have an anchor.
Just so I have something
get
to,
you going.
To make my podcast different than you know, listening in on like a conversation. Mm-hmm. Make my conversation a little bit different than a wiretap at a fucking developmentally disabled fraternity's lodge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that it's not just eavesdropping on three men with diagnosable social disorders.
No one can figure mine out.
Yeah. Well, because yours is complicated because it's social, psychological, and biological.
Yeah, and sexual.
And psychosexual.
I wish they could figure it out. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yes, just to have a label for it would make it so much simpler.
God, so much
I've been in the top neurologists and prostitutes.
Yeah,
no one
I
can
wish.
Figure out what it is.
Oh, God, I wish.
Oh, yeah. Fingers listeners, crossed. If you think by the end of this podcast you know what Roger's psychosexual trauma might
and
be.
And is this for another month? Dude, in your reviews, leave a diagnosis for Ben Rogers. Yeah. Leave him a 5-star review with a theory on what precisely is wrong.
Rate me 5 stars. Explain what's wrong with Ben Rogers.
Yeah,
in
if
the
you're
cult.
A neurologist, psychologist,
and we
or
mix
prostitute.
It up every month. You know, you have like a refillable thing, like
a new person,
and it'll give you a nice little timeline, sort of like a photo album of the podcast. When 20 years from now, when we're all still doing this shit, uh-huh.
20 years from now, when we're shot up at a podcast convention on a boat or some shit,
yes,
when Hollywood Handbook's reuniting 20 years later for Warped Tour on a cruise,
we all fucking hate each other so much.
The podcast cruise.
We're getting all the best podcasts together. The Action Boys are going to be there. Nick Weiger's going to be there with the AI that they uploaded Mitchell to. It's going to be fucking wild. Weiger's going to be performing with like a fucking Tesla coil that has Mitch's voice. Everything he's ever said has been uploaded to it. We can sort of create an algorithmic comedian.
The Sklar holograms are going to be there.
We were able to clone more Sklars. We've got 10 of them now.
And Pete Holmes.
Yeah, he's fucking. He's
Pete Holmes
it.
As the guest on every one. What a cruise! Pete Holmes is the guest on every podcast.
Every single podcast.
That would make it.
That's a hot
weird.
Ticket. Yeah. Oh, that would make it so
Shit
weird.
Shit would get too weird, I would argue.
I would, yeah. I would barely be able to enjoy my burrito. All right. Let's talk Bosch. We're back in the Bosch pit. We got the dogs in the house. Why did we all connect to this show so quick? You guys both turned me on to it.
I mean, you and I were
early adopters.
We were fascinated by the billboards.
The billboards, yes.
Yeah.
The billboards were the first thing. Yeah. And I say, and I have read some of the books, and I do say I read the books, but I did not even really know about the books until the show, full disclosure. Yes. Because the billboard said, every murder tells the story of a city, right?
Yeah, it's something along those
and
lines.
And then I was just driving with you and we just had like a long bit argument where I was like,
does every city tell the tale of a murder?
I was like, not every murder. Yes. Like I get what they're saying, I get what they're trying to do, but
every
murder doesn't tell the story of a city. And Ben was like, no, it does. It does. And like and then we just had like a really
long...
That was really long.
And then I think you texted me a picture of you about to press play on it. It's like, I guess I'm going to find out.
Yeah. You know, prove me wrong, Bosch. And I think also Grace independently was like, I think I want to watch Bosch. And I was like, is that the one that says every murder tells the story of a city?
Is that the one about an old guy who looks good in tight t-shirts? Mm-hmm. Like that's like all the poster gives you. That was like also Banshee was pretty much a poster buy for me.
Also,
too, to be honest.
Also discovered because Grace was like, hey, we should watch this show Banshee and had liked the poster. These are two that she turned us on to both of
right.
our shows.
And I can't even turn Tiffany on to either of those shows. I went on to just like take them on my own.
Well, know? Yes, and it's unfair in a way because I don't know that I could turn Grace onto a show if I wanted to. I think that she
it
would
just, one
it,
way
it has to be her suggestion, maybe. Maybe this is unfair.
Right.
Oh, I hope she doesn't listen to this. But anyway, she
don't worry.
I'm in the doghouse, baby. I'm trying to think if I've ever introduced a show. But both of them were excellent suggestions that we've got really into. Yeah. And I think that I knew it from the billboard and the bit I had done with Ben made me more open to watching it, started it. And pretty immediately was like, okay, I'm in.
It's like a slightly amped up, like quality-wise, Law and Order. Yeah, because it's a powerful procedural with like fun characters. Everyone is old, which I kind of like, which is kind of new for a show where like most of the characters are way older than me.
Yeah, I think, Ben, didn't you say like when I'm watching it, I feel like I'm my dad or something like that? Because Bosch is like... He appears to be like late 50s or something and is the toughest guy by far in the entire city of Los Angeles.
He's faster than his like 28-year-old partner.
Yo, he's 5'4", 61 and years old.
He doesn't look ripped.
No.
In any
he looks good.
Traditional way. Yes, no.
He looks like he's ex-Special Forces at least.
But yes, backstory is that he's ex-Special Forces.
And he has like a tattoo of like a pair of jacks on. It's like he has the worst tattoos there. Look like they're like pirate cartoons.
Now, I think Titus Welliver really has those tattoos.
Does
he? I think he's continued to get the ink like throughout the course of filming the show.
No way.
Yeah. I think he has like really melded himself with the character of Bosch.
I could see that because
isn't that sort of like a Stolen Valor type thing, the Special Forces tattoo and stuff?
Maybe I'm talking out of my ass.
It could be.
But it's possible.
I will
mean, it
say,
seems, it just seems.
Titus Welliver
up.
Is a weird Twitter follow.
Oh, really? Strange. I don't know. I don't follow him.
Doesn't he like retweet like Stephen King writing like, Titus Welliver is Harry Bosch.
He retweets like, exclusively people saying that and a lot of stuff about like how what he's doing for the police is very good. You know, like an accurate representation of the hard work that the police force puts into protecting our city.
I and like that, one actor.
And then he like
that.
Retweets that.
When like, they get like two, the same thing happened to, what's the guy who played Major Dan in Forrest Gump?
Oh, Lieutenant Dan.
Gary Sinise got really into like, it's the troops. We got to like give back. Like where he got like just too down the rabbit hole of like, we got to help the
identifying
vets.
With
I'm
it,
Lieutenant
yeah.
Dan and I'm...
right, you're like, no, you're Gary Sinise. Yeah. You're going to do CSI New York for 10 seasons. Relax.
Actually, Titus Welliver, I mean, the dream obviously is get a photo of my dog Bosch with Titus Welliver.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Or with Maddie, his daughter.
Yeah, maybe even better. But,
that might be more fun.
But Titus Welliver recently graces... law partner and Hollywood lawyer extraordinaire, Lev Ginsberg, mm-hmm. met Titus and told him all about Bosch.
Ooh, because
Bosch
he
was legitimately excited, apparently, in the retelling. He was like, that's great. Like, just like, was super stoked.
I feel
that
like
named
he would be
Bosch.
Pro. Like, yeah. he's very.
He's retweeting people talking about yeah. the character.
He's very proud of that gig.
Yeah. Also, my parents met. Michael Connelly went to a book signing and made him look at pictures of Bosch. And I think he was like, polite, but less excited.
Yeah.
was like, oh, cool. That's how I met
Harry Bosch yeah. is actually a pretty tough guy, Mr. Yeah. Dog.
Bosch is named for my best friend in junior high who I watched die in front of me.
Harry Bosch is a Vietnam veteran, and this is just a pretty cute puppy.
Yeah, Harry Bosch. What's he a veteran of? Because Vietnam makes sense for his
look. It was originally
look,
Vietnam, yeah. and then they had to change it for the series. Because
I know in the books, there'll be like he'll be like walking through a swamp to like spy on someone, and it'll be reminding him yeah. of being in Vietnam.
We don't get any of that where he's in like Palm Springs being like, this is just like Fallujah.
Right.
But we do get in this one season, the season that just aired was season 5, right?
I think it was 4.
I think it's 4. Four yeah.
Oh, then season 3 is the one where he goes toe-to-toe against actual special forces.
I think 3 is my favorite because of that, where yeah. he's kind of going yes. against people with his background, mm-hmm. and they're and one of the dudes is sort of like a burnout surfer. And
they're bringing dishonor yeah. to the troops in his mm-hmm. mind, I think.
Yeah.
So he's like, but they have all this training, and so...
It's a delight to see
and
him.
And it becomes
yeah.
a little bit more of an action movie in the final few episodes.
Right.
Well, and that's true of season 2 as well.
Yeah.
So season 1 is an outlier in a way because he's following a serial killer and it's not it the villain feels a little more hokey and mm-hmm. you spend a lot more time with the villain in that season yeah. than you
yes.
do in the other seasons.
Who is the serial killer again?
Ronaldo Waith or something.
He would kill oh, yeah. like he male like, prostitutes and
yes,
female,
yes.
and I guess all no either gender prostitutes.
Yeah,
right?
He had a van yeah. and he would like kidnap people into the van and he right. would like duct tape and kill them. But he was like super arch and I think played a little bigger than some of the characters in the later seasons. And I also feel like I got into it through that, and I did have that feeling you were talking about of like it's sort of like dad porn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also the other thing that season 1 established that I really do love about the show is early on you go, oh God, that line's kind of a cliche. Like they're sort of doing like a really like boilerplate like cliche cop thing right now. But then you realize, no, they're gonna do all of that. Like there's zero shame or like irony to any of it. There's no yeah. awareness that some of this stuff has been done before
right.
and it's so pure, like it's done with no embarrassment.
No irony. Yeah.
Yeah, that you I start to like it. There's something
like
really
stuff
sincere
like,
about
lay
it.
Lay off
yeah.
the hot dogs, will you, Wilson? You're going to become one.
Well,
you know,
I
like,
mean,
that's like the sensei fucking Crate
and
Barrel.
Yeah.
Yes. I always cite this, but in season 2, one of the very first scenes is literally like the chief sliding his badge across the desk to him and going, try to hang on to it this time, Bosch. Like, he's just getting off suspension for this big. And I'm like, man, that is.
Those are usually the best interactions that hit it exactly like you said, are between him. He has a
the female boss. I
yeah,
her name,
she.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but their relationship is great.
Yeah.
Where she is kind of like a de facto babysitter, like mother figure for his daughter. Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't play as like the fun stopper cliche at all. Like she's comes across.
No, she's got a real soft spot for him. And she's kind of like knows that he's a good cop, but kind of can't
yeah.
stop stepping in it.
But yeah. part of the thing it's I like genuine. About this is that they all like kind of admit that Bosch is like, everyone is going, I'm not, he's annoying, right?
It's a little
like,
bit of
even like his closest yeah. friends are like, I don't know, he's kind of like a scumbag weirdo.
He's
kind of
like House. I
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't
yeah.
ever watch the
yeah,
show,
no,
but it's
that's
like,
true. It's very it's similar where it's like, he's a, he's a total hard on. Yeah. Like he, like everyone who works with him thinks he's like difficult and kind of a prick and like, you know, so socially has sort of no awareness because he's so mission focused all the time. But
he, unfortunately like, for them, he's very good.
Well, it's I get results. Right. I mean, that's
too good. He's the best.
And he's a celebrity. They've played this up more, I think, in this most recent season. He's a celebrity in LA.
Yeah.
Like it'll be like Bosch is the head of this task force? Like so like a civilian is saying that. Like, well then why'd you put Harry Bosch in charge?
Yeah, when like the Black Lives Matter kind of stuff that they were doing in this season.
and it's and everyone Bosch knows him.
Well, because that's an element. That's
why do
an element,
I have to keep dealing with you, Bosch?
With an element of the whole storyline, I guess, and is that they made a movie based on one of his cases. Is part of his backstory, so he was like at least wealthy at one point.
I don't remember the name of his house, but he lives in a famous LA house, which is a good thing to bring up also, is that it's shot in LA and they use the full Buffalo. They use every landmark in Hollywood.
Yes.
It's Hollywood Homicide. They go through every standout place.
They're at
Pink's
Hot Dogs. Yes. Like any sign you recognize from someone's Instagram.
Every corner.
If you live in LA, it's very exciting to watch like them go report to the crime scene at Cactus Tacos. Or the craziest one was the Los Feliz
Little Dom's
golf course diner to me. Because I used to live right by there in Atwater. And I was like, is he eating at the diner that's attached to the pitch and putt? And like, no one eats there.
For me, my the one that hit the hardest was the Dupars in the Grove.
Oh,
I'm
that.
I can't believe
But he's there all the time. Yeah. Right. And that's
Dupar's like, boss
I'm sorry,
table,
but what happens at the...
right.
It's like, that's insane to imagine happening.
He talks about Dupar's having the best pancakes all the time in Birds, which is right next to UCB.
Yeah, and he loves Birds.
He loves Birds, and that's in the books too.
In the books, he loves Birds is one of his go-to places.
Does he live up in Beechwood Canyon? Does he like live up above the
in
the hills?
Yeah, he lives
in
the hills above there. Yep.
So you said before that the serial killer sort of like stood out a lot in season one.
Yeah, well, because seasons two and three follow a different model that I like better,
where it's like one case, but
yes, you sort of know who did
it. Season four too.
Yes, and season four, although there's like more interwoven threads in season four, but two and three is kind of you know what the crime is, like he kind of finds a body at the beginning, you know who did it pretty early, and then it's Bosch trying to build the case. And it's a little more similar to The Wire in that way. I mean, not with like the sort of novelistic prestige or whatever, but like the
it's like The Wire's Cliff Notes, if you really want.
I mean, they do some sort of like complicated dilemmas for him, where he has this evidence, but how do you get it into court, how do you make the other detective discover the thing, like because it's not his case, but he has a personal stake in it always. So all that stuff, like especially in 2 and 3, where it's so much more into the procedure and like the realities of
They try to do a noir kind of Postman Always Rings Twice type thing with the woman who played on
Jerry Ryan. Yeah.
Super beautiful, and she's sort of like this
she's like a femme
sexy
fatale.
Widow, femme fatale.
Right.
And
I remember that one.
And that's really fun. And then season three is more like Bosch versus the department.
Yes.
Where he secretly knows information but can't justify how he got it legally, so he can't tell anybody. And his partner, J. Edgar, who's fucking great in the show.
Oh, yeah.
He has the information because he has this like super personal axe to grind against this guy who's involved in the case. And for him, you know, in him exposing that he has it to anyone, it's like, it totally tarnishes his character to his partner and everything.
And I got to say, there's another thing about the show. It immediately gets flushed out of my brain. They all kind of blend together, and I can remember the big moments.
Exactly.
But otherwise...
Well, in season two, there's like a chain machine gun being used in like a Sherman Hooks parking lot.
Right.
And that... I mean, that... is so insane. And it looks crazy when it's happening, but they're sort of just going like, well, of course it escalated to this.
Yeah.
And it's by like a guy who's like a security guard like a gated community.
You're right. It goes out of your mind so fast. It's that weird like sort of procedural element to it where you're like, it's one super long episode more or less. Yeah. But quick, I wanted to say, I think the reason that Serial Killer stands out so much in the first one, there's something about the acting style on Bosch where it feels like a dry run. Like every scene feels like, okay, that looks like blocking. Let's do it again. But everyone, try your line.
It's extremely flat. I mean, I think it, you know, somewhat intentionally.
Because they
cast Marlowe from The Wire.
They're trying to get
partner.
The realism of The Wire, but the world is just way too.
And it's
fucking,
Wire people involved, right? Like Eric Overmyer was he?
Yeah.
So I think that, and they use a lot of the same casting. Obviously, Lieutenant Daniels from The Wire is essentially the exact same character in the Bosch world, which is a little confusing.
He's also the exact same character he was on Fringe, and arguably the TV show Corporate.
Right. And Lost.
He's like the authoritarian boss with the deep voice. There's like a weird under delivery that I enjoy. And J. Edgar being the peak of that. But even Crate and Barrel, who are the two biggest characters on the show, every line is delivered sort of like, kind of, you know, there's no gravitas to anything,
which I
enjoy. It
feels like they might be, you go like, they might have cast real cops. Right. Like, these guys might be retired cops that they just gave.
I would believe
it. And I'm
Action Boys fans, you will recognize Beryl as being, he's in cuffs.
He's the
Demolition
best
Man.
Fat looking cop. Yeah. They like ripped those two guys off for Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right.
Like those are like the most cliche, like the two dumpy cops trying to get out of everything.
I love the guy who, is always sitting at the desk. You know what I mean? Who's going, I got to kick this guy. You're going to charge him or
he's
not?
Like, he's like a receptionist. So yes. He's like the fucking front desk.
But everything.
But everyone's boys with him, the gray haired guy, right?
Yeah.
He's like, Bosch, there's a guy in waiting room too. Says
like
no
usually
shit.
Has his glasses on his on his forehead.
Yeah. He's
but the,
chief
best. The chief is like their confidants together. You know, it's like, yeah, well, that's up to Bosch, isn't it? And she goes, isn't everything. You know, like it's like they're like gossipy. I love.
And Bosch is a great character too, because he's like a superhero, because he's always right.
Yeah.
Like
he's always like his gut is always right.
He's literally never wrong. Yes. He's never felt like they just keep putting him in worse and worse situations and he's still always
correct.
He's
got the action hero thing where even the successful things other people do are his idea.
Yes. He's walking everyone. He's always like pulling the strings helping people figure out their shit.
He's like deserving of credit for anything that positive that happens in Hollywood.
In the city, yes. Yeah.
And like you guys said about him, where it's like everyone kind of acknowledges that he's sort of an asshole. It's like because he has an actual sort of code that he lives by, and often you know he's doing the right thing, and it looks to someone else like he's just jamming them up.
Right.
And he never explains to anyone. Yeah. Like he never goes like, hey, I'm doing this because of this. Like it's actually for your own good.
Right.
And he always just like lets his actions speak for themselves.
Right.
In this way.
He could easily grease the groove a little bit to get a little bit of favor from someone.
One of the scenes I just watched in this most recent season is like, you know, J. Edgar goes up to someone who's like, hey, what you did like goes a long way with him. And they're like, well, he wouldn't say that. J. Edgar's like, that's why I did.
So funny. Like this woman is getting a compliment on from Bosch via J. Edgar. Mm-hmm. J. Edgar's character, talk about I can't even do his delivery because the second you try to talk like him, you are already putting in more effort. He's just like, I don't know, Harry. Do you think we should maybe grab the notebook?
It was unbelievable as this character, when he was Marlowe, this young up and coming drug dealer with all this mystique to him, and like the less he did, the better, because it was just like, who is this guy? And then on this, he has to have scenes with like his, you know, ex-wife he's trying to reconcile with and his kids, and
we're already living together.
They have these people who.
That's the line that made me laugh so much this season. But I thought we were back together.
Are back together.
Well, we are. Eventually. I was just
helping Harry out.
But he and the daughter are both like incredibly flat delivery, and it works really well in some scenes. And then every once in a while they get stretched where you go like, this season was going like, oh, Maddie's like been, she's better. Like, I feel like in other seasons, it really stuck out that she was like, she's a child actor and she's not, you know, as charismatic as some of these people. But then they have her dealing with this incredibly heavy emotional thing. She has to do this huge, like, heavy lifting scene and you go like, oh man, they put too much on her shoulders.
In this most recent season, there's a moment where I'm like, oh my God, don't tell me she's solving her mom's. Like, you know, like they gave, like they had to give everyone too much of a plot, I thought, in this last season. I'm like, I don't need to follow Maddie's case. Like, yeah. I'm here for Bosch. Just use her like every other.
Is that when she just went for a long drive?
Yeah. She just wanted to find her shit in the desert. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, she calls him and goes like, I'm just gonna go for a drive, clear my head. And he's like, where to? And she's like, just leave it, Bosch, you know. And then I was like, what's she really doing?
Yeah,
that was it.
She went for a long drive.
Yeah.
Like, their relationship is pretty much all based around food and like where to eat. And
I love they talk about, like, I brought home sushi. Sushi leftover doesn't count. He's like, it's sugarfish.
Yeah, they love
that.
The LA
had to
specifics.
Be added, right? Like, this, like, that's not, that can't be from the book.
No, it
it's
can't
so
be sugarfish.
New. But it was a good, like, extension of, like, well, Bosch now would be into sugarfish.
Right, he would, yeah. I think a big part of why this show hit me so hard too was I think I started watching it shortly after moving here.
Right.
To Los Angeles. Right. And a joke we make on Action Boys all the time is like, you know, I think you could say that Los Angeles is a bit of a character in this. Mm-hmm. But they literally will hold on a frame where they'll show like a stakeout of two cops in a car, but within the frame will be visibly the street sign telling you it's Vermont and Beverly.
Well,
or
they're
whatever.
Telling,
it's, like,
they're,
it's like, we don't need that much information.
They're telling the tale of a city.
Each murder does.
Each murder tells.
And I've been proven wrong on that.
Yeah, they did. They did prove it to be true. The murders do tell a tale of a city.
Well, and the reason
and it
that
is
they
a
say
quote, it is a direct quote from Bosch.
Well, and they say every murder because the thing that he says all the time is basically everyone matters or no one matters. Mm. Like, every murder because, you know, his mom was a prostitute. She got killed.
I wish they would talk about that a little bit more.
And, yes, and this is something that I had to do some digging to find out. But she got killed, and it got treated as like just some prostitute got murdered. Right. Who cares? And now he is a homicide detective, and he never lets that attitude take over in the bureau. Where it doesn't matter who it is, how it happened.
No, don't get.
They all matter.
It's just so fun to, like, because the show is based on a book. Like, imagine the pitching like. Yeah, he's a cop, but he's super wealthy because they made a movie based on his life. So he has the coolest. He loves food. He's special forces. He's 60. He solves every case. It's murder. And it's like, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here. This is so much for one character. But because it was already a book, it's believable. And I fucking can't. I'm so jealous that they get that much information.
And if there are any Banshee fans, there is a real treat that pops up in season one where Hoon.
Yes.
Appears as Reggie.
Reggie is now married to Bosch's ex-wife,
and he gets some Skype acting.
I'm blanking.
In
was his name
four.
Joe in Banshee? What
I
was
don't remember
name?
What it was. It was a woman's name in Banshee, right? Hoon Lee. Are we talking about Hoon?
Yeah,
the actor,
that's
Hoon?
The actor. But the I thought,
oh fuck, I can't believe it. I thought it was like a female's name, right? Oh no, he just fuck.
And I thought he had like a hacker name.
Oh yeah, it's Vortex.
It was like, yeah, it was like Zero Cool.
Acid. Wait, what is Zero Cool is an actual one from Hackers, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Isn't also the other one like Acid Drip or something like that?
But he's great in it, and it's fun to see him play
Job.
Job, yes.
It's fun to see him play such a drastically different character than he did in Banshee.
Yeah,
he's in Banshee he was like a sort of like cross-dressing badass.
Yeah,
and then in this, when you first meet him, he's in a tuxedo and he's very like, hello Harry, how, what are you doing?
He's
here?
A very sophisticated Hong Kong educated, like gambler, I guess. I guess he's a professional poker player.
He's up to something
sketchy. Well, this is a
I thought they met through playing poker.
Possibly, yeah.
Because he's Harry's ex-wife sort of businessman. Is CIA.
She's an FBI she's an profiler. FBI,
yeah.
That is that left to become a professional poker player.
She retired and uses her profiling skills to read players at the table, making her one of the best poker players in the world.
It's insane that that's not the TV show. You know what I mean? Like that his ex-wife has the more interesting, more succinct
premise.
And she
doesn't even play like normal tournaments because there's not enough money.
Right.
She plays kind of
backroom cash games. Yeah.
And Sean, one of your previous appearances on High and Mighty is the poker episode. You're a big poker guy.
I do love poker, so and I love the realism of the way they present the poker world.
In season four, they have a great poker where she makes that big monk, that big tough guy, white guy, just gets so angry, flips the chair and gets up from the table, all because she just fucking calls everything about him. It's like, okay, we get it. She's good at poker.
That guy's overplaying it. The scene's too long. That I remember that was a very good scene.
Oh, finally, a break from Gabrus just ranting on and on to hear Gabrus rant on and on about his favorite underwear brand, Mack Weldon. To be fair, they're also his favorite sock brand and undershirt brand. Also, top two sweatpant brands as well. Sorry, Mack Weldon, I gotta be real. I love the silver underwear, you know, and I swear it's not because they're antimicrobial. It doesn't hurt, that's for sure. But the fit of the double XL silvers are fantastic. I'm assuming the small, medium, large, and extra large fit wonderfully, according to if you're one of those sizes. I'm looking forward to trying the extra larges eventually. Still might have to get the crotch taken in a little bit, if you know what I mean. Guys, Mack Weldon, they're comfortable. The socks are awesome. I highly recommend checking out. You can get 20% off your first order if you go to mackweldon.com and enter promo code MIGHTY. And then if you don't even like the underwear, you can return your drawers. Well, no, you can get a refund without returning your drawers. That's what it is. You can return your drawers to me, and I'll give them a little hidey-ho, say what's going on, and then toss them because I don't need your underwear in my life. But here's what you can do, gang. You can buy a pair of underwear, and if you decide you dislike them, which I would be hard-pressed to believe, that's how confident they are that you're going to like Mack Weldon. They'll let you keep a free pair and get refunded. So at least get a free pair of underwear. At least try getting a pair of underwear. Go to mackweldon.com, promo code MIGHTY. Guys, since phones have been invented, all I do is look at it at airports. Traveling, my phone is a major part of my travel life. And now, of course, also is luggage. That's an important part of my travel life, my phone and my luggage. But recently, I just got an Away bag from these guys who make the perfect luggage. They are obviously a sponsor of this podcast. I'm reading their ad. But I already love my suitcase. I can't wait to bring it with me to Bonnaroo, to Clusterfest. I'm going to be rocking my Away suitcase at all the top podcast parties and showing off because this thing feels indestructible. I have yet to really test that, but its strength, impact, it's very light. It looks pretty freaking cool. And it's got, most importantly for me, it's got these compression things so you can just like pull it super tight to press down your clothes for us overpackers. But to be fair, I'm not an overpacker. I can bring two pairs of pants, but because of the size of them, to get a pair of pants that could fit on my body is like folding up a parachute. So it really takes up a lot in like a small carry-on. But thankfully with the compression system, bing, bing, the wheels work amazing. There's a combination lock. And then as I was saying earlier about phones, this thing comes with a built-in charger, okay? Powered by a USB cord. So you can charge your luggage while you're at the airport. Or if you can't find a plug, which I never can, luckily, my luggage can charge my phone. A single charge of the carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times or a similar smartphone, maybe. Guys, it's you get a 100-day trial, free shipping. The sizes all are great. I have the smallest one, and it's plenty for all my big clothes. Trust me. So do yourself a favor. For $20 off a suitcase, go to awaytravel.com/mighty and use promo code MIGHTY during checkout. So for $20 off a suitcase, go to awaytravel.com/mighty and use promo code MIGHTY to get your Away suitcase. Who are some of your favorite side characters? Because Again, because they all blend together. One of the guys I love, I think introduced in season three, the rival older Latino cop who doesn't like Bosch.
Robertson, right?
Robertson, Robertson. Yes.
Santiago?
Yes. And so, he's got like, he's a big part of season four too.
Yes.
But he's, of course, eventually on Bosch's side.
Yeah. He's just a rung below Bosch, so there's a glass ceiling he can't get, because Bosch will always have the job he wants, and Bosch isn't going anywhere, so it's very frustrating. And he kind of, he's almost as good as Bosch, where he can smell when someone's dirty.
Yeah.
He's picked up that sixth sense through being a veteran cop. He's
well, like, and he has a history with the other unit that they're like investigating in this most recent season, where I think there's some bad blood where he had to leave RHD.
Yeah, he left RHD because he maybe didn't want to do the kind of shit that they were doing.
Yeah.
I like him so much because they just made him just like Bosch, just remove the badass part of it. You know what I mean? Like, they just made him a little softer. And then they sort of set up this plot line that he like fucks this like 6'2" punk rock bartender.
Yes, that's right. And they kept it alive in this season as if we were wondering if that relationship
continued. But we actually saw it further along, right?
I don't think they established the name of the bar.
It's a famous bar.
Well, he goes to every bar that she works at.
Is it the Smog Cutter?
Smog Cutter, yeah.
Which is close.
Right. He goes to all the bars she works at.
So whatever day of the week she's working at whatever bar, he goes to that specific bar. So he's not just hooked on the Smog Cutter. He goes to wherever she's working.
Right. And you think like, oh, he's just a weird old sleazy guy when you first reveal that connection. Then you see that she's kind of into him. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then in season four, they're like in a car together at one point.
He's a great actor. Mm-hmm. He almost got Jules from Pulp Fiction. He had a really good audition for it, and so the legend goes is that Samuel Jackson had flew back to LA to give another read because he was afraid he was going to lose the part to him. And he plays Jules' replacement in Pulp Fiction. He's the guy that goes with John Travolta to go get Bruce Willis.
Oh shit!
After he sold out the boxing fight, so he's had a bunch of small great roles, and
he's really good, it's cool that he got this great
part.
Yeah, he's got a cool, like, distinctive look, and he's a good actor.
I love his partner. I think his partner is the most real.
He's the best on the show.
He seems super authentic because he's like out of his depth a little bit. Like he's trying to figure it out, and it feels very real at all.
But
times.
I think he's like he's like the audience proxy too often. He's just kind of like, wait, what do you think is going on? Like,
he's got like these like grunt jobs to do where they're like, go search the park for the bullet casing for like an entire episode.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is funny. And it is funny that those two like veteran old cops have like two sharp-dressed, young, handsome black dudes as their partners in a way.
But I think that dude does a great job. As an actor, I think he gets a lot out of the limited stuff they give him. And he's got sort of a weird take on it. I don't know if it's just naturally his personality or if he's making a choice.
He sort of feels like an A student who's forced to be like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like he graduated John Jay, first of his class, criminal justice or whatever, you know, and then like is forced to be under a bunch of old dogs.
Yeah, he feels like an eager trainee who's like doesn't know when to bend the rules yet. Like, it just... Yeah,
I like his vibe a lot.
Yeah. He's very good.
Also in this season is that dude who's in like every Michael Mann movie, Chewbacca, the big dude. Love that guy. He's like the big-eared, pouty guy who's formerly of RHD. He's in season four. He's formerly of RHD. He's Santiago's like old partner.
Right, guys, we haven't talked about the Hollywood element of the previous season.
Oh, with the producer?
Yes.
That was fucking great.
That was insane.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's like the most fun storyline of all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that it's like a famous director producer guy who like Bosch knows committed some horrible murder or something.
Yes, but like he's like in his
you know, castle type mansion, like going on these monologues to people about like, I'm directing even Bosch himself. He's a character in my story and I'm creating the fabric of the tale that he's playing into. Bosch, the perfect anti-hero who will succumb to his own hubris. And just like to this table full of people who are like at dinner at his house. Right. Like, this is their impression of like what Hollywood people are like.
Yeah, and this guy thinks he's above the law, and supposedly it's what inspired Ronan Farrow to go after Harvey Weinstein, is that season of Bosch is taped. No,
wow.
Like, this like, one's yeah. for Bosch.
But it's interesting because it's like, you know that the people who are making Bosch are actually involved in Hollywood and don't think this is what a director is like, but it is what Bosch, the character, would think a director is
That's
like.
That's what I, and it is because it goes back to the dad stuff.
Getting a fucking show, nosebleed thinking about it.
Yeah, I feel like, I forget, maybe it was one of you guys, maybe it was someone else, but described the show as four dads by dads. And it is like, there's a big strong dad element. It's always like sort of like, how you can just sixth sense a situation. But this one reeks of the dad element too, where it's like, they're off doing their frou-frou Hollywood bullshit, right. You know, cops and robbers, real cops, real like.
When I turn on Bosch, yeah. I become a 60-year-old divorcee.
It's the closest, I feel far closer watching Bosch to my dad than when I'm actually talking to my dad or right. in a room with him. I mean, he is a retired cop, so.
Right, that helps.
All, yeah. He's a detective. So there is that element of it. And he likes Bosch, and there were particular cop shows that I would watch with him where he'd be like, the biggest memory I have of it is like watching The Shield, and he would go like, I mean, there's guys that are really like this. Like, he'd be like, this is kind of the realest one. Like, he's
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah.
The Shield, fuck, dude. That is a great show.
Yeah.
That's
but it's like so like adrenaline like fucked up. Just
no,
like,
it's
they're
like
so
Mountain,
out
it's
there.
It's like Mountain Dew
and he's
X
like,
Games.
This is what
villains.
These are guys like it. But it's like, yeah, it's pretty nutso. And then I think he liked that so much better than, you know, whatever, a lot of like NYPD Blue and stuff. Like right. He was just like, he liked all of it, but that was the one where he was like, I mean, I haven't seen this done on TV. Like, I've worked with guys like this.
That's crazy to have worked with a guy who's remotely like Vic Mackey. Working with someone who's like Bosch must be a nightmare, and at least he's like trying to follow the law. Vic Mackey is like just lining his pocket.
I think there's so many little, and Bosch demonstrates some of this, but there's so many little corners that get cut every day. You know what I mean?
What are his thoughts on the commish?
Wow.
Do
we have enough time? Are we gonna do two podcasts? Yeah,
why do I have you guys here when I can have Sean's dad in the room fucking laying down the law
and talking to you about video games?
Fucking interesting. Dude,
it would be such...
Well, he could talk about D&D.
Oh shit. Now I gotta have your dad on the pod.
I should get my dad on High and Mighty. It's wild, man.
Retired cop who plays D&D. Yeah, I could I just want to talk to our dad.
Going back to like all the like cliche things on Bosch that they just like crank out completely genuinely. My brother would start watching it and would just text me as he's watching, just like, someone just told Bosch, you look like shit, Bosch.
Oh yeah.
You look like how I feel. Like, they just do it's I know it's a fucking overused word now, but like, it's dad humor too. Yeah. It's like it's so dad to the core.
Well, Crate and Barrel, all their jokes are total like dad.
Yeah.
Jokes.
And I love, they make me laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, their names are Crate and Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really funny. Like, the amount of shit, like how much they hate doing anything is really a funny element of the show.
I really liked what they did with them in season 4.
They have the best plot line.
That was my favorite
part. The best B-side plot line ever is in season 4 when they just, I don't know how far along you are. This might be a bit of a spoiler.
I know.
They just accidentally solved
the murder.
There's
a huge case. There's a huge case.
They've been teasing out for multiple seasons.
Yes. For years, they've been building this case up. And then it's like, I guess symbolic that it's completely solved by a total accident. They do no work and just wind
up
being the people with
the dude
ear.
Gets hit by a car, right? That's what happens. Yes. He gets in a bike. Well, it's a weird commentary on LA that the bad guy rides a bike, and LA is so not a bike city that he eventually dies because that's
his chosen.
Yeah, he
just gets hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, did we just solve the KTK?
And come on, and that's a huge spoiler, guys.
That is a huge spoiler.
Because honestly, let's say I'm a High and Mighty listener who's a big Bosch fan. I mean, I might not be done with the most recent season yet. I feel like you talk about how seasons 1, 2, and 3 end. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
We're going to talk about like the 9th episode of season 4. I feel like that's rude.
I feel like
you know what? That's me, man.
You're a rude. What? Well, can I ask something? Why do you have to be so rude?
I'm a rude boy. Spoiler, man.
You have like a tucked-in performance where you're dressed like Bosch.
That's
I'm
right.
going to send your ass to the Black Echo.
So I have speaking of being dressed like Bosch, I am wearing Bosch's, what I learned is like a sailor rope bracelet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can unwind that and now you got some line in case of an emergency.
I guess so. And it must be because he was like a Marine or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like,
if he says he's Special Forces, most likely that's Green Berets. That's,
yeah, that's Army.
That's Army.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it feels like the sailor rope bracelet, which is what he wears,
yeah,
has some connection to like a Navy thing,
yeah,
or something.
Marines.
But who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, at one point, was at the dog park with my dog, Bosch, and Grace and I start talking to this older couple, and the guy was like, he's probably, you know, 60 years old, just leans over, and he's like, what'd you say your dog's name was again? And we were like, Bosch. And he was like, and most people will go, you know, like the washing machine or whatever, or they'll say Chris Bosch, or they'll say as in Hieronymus, at which point I'll go, yes, but not the way you're asking. But this guy was like the Amazon show. And I was like,
not
yeah.
the books.
And
perfect.
He rolls up his sleeve and he goes, I got the bracelet. And
that's
he was like,
awesome.
He was wearing the Bosch bracelet just out, and his wife was like, yeah, I found it for him. He loves it. And just like, he was so into the show and so connected with Bosch that he had gone out and gotten the sailor rope bracelet and had like the exact one and was wearing it.
It's really funny too to be like, Bosch, the TV show. Like, that means he skips not only like the books part, like, mm-hmm. he's exactly the level of fan you are, but also at the same time, of course, a 60-year-old man who goes
move,
to a
yeah.
dog
yeah.
bar. Yeah, of
no,
course.
He was
yeah.
just like, holy shit, I love this show. How can I feel closer to
right.
it?
Right.
I'm going to buy the bracelet that he wears in the show, which is sort of weirdly prominently featured.
Yeah. It's because he wears like Under Armour tight t-shirts.
You know the moment where he goes to hold hands with his daughter in the emotional scene, you see that she also wears the same
yep.
bracelet.
Yeah, they haven't given the story on the bracelet yet.
But that
I
makes,
think it might be in the book somewhere. It's got to be.
I'm sure it's in the books.
Now,
yeah.
you probably made that guy's maybe year, almost definitely 6 months. Like, that's probably the best thing that's happened to him in 6 months, that he got to show off.
He's definitely
with
told
reason.
That story.
Yeah.
His wife has said to him, enough with the dog park story. At some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's how fun of a moment that was.
Because you're saying I made his 6 months, but he also, in his version of the story, blew my mind.
Right.
And made
yeah.
my whole
yes.
year where he's like, they had named their dog after, so they're big fans. Little did they know, they're essentially talking to Bosch.
Yeah. Yeah, you blew, like, it's beautiful.
Everybody feels
it's beautiful.
Good. Wait, it's
I mean,
one of those
I
moments
yeah.
you'll never get over.
So what's Bosch's real first name? It's
His name is Harry Bosch, but he's named after
painter.
Hieronymus Bosch, the painter.
Yes.
And so, yeah, his name is Hieronymus. Everybody calls him Harry on the show.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So a lot of people will go like Hieronymus Bosch, and I can just tell sometimes right. that they mean the painter. And
it's smart because
sort of.
you name your dog Bosch, but you can name your son Hieronymus.
Yeah, and
you
that
kept
way
Hieronymus
I get
for your son.
Bone. Yes.
I'm going with J. Edgar for my kid.
For your kid, J. Edgar.
J.
Mine's
going
to be called Crate.
Crate Rogers.
Mm.
Crate Rogers does sound like a jobber wrestler, you know? Or Crate Rogers is definitely a like budding superhero. He like gets powers, Crate
yeah,
Rogers.
Yeah, it's definitely a fucking like, we just got this guy from the TWG Wrestling League.
Any closing thoughts on Bosch? We know we're getting another season, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine a world without it.
It's interesting because the seasons are, I think, frequently based on a combination of two of the books.
Yes.
Like, that's how they'll sort of, like, put the plot line together. And so then when I go to read the books, I'm doing a couple things where I'm, like, trying to avoid reading the ones that I've already watched the TV show of.
Oh, that makes sense.
And I'm also, sometimes there's like
a book that is like one of the bigger Bosch books, and I go, they're for sure going to do this next season.
Right. So you don't want to necessarily know.
Well, because I don't want them to be watching it and be like, well, I already know what happened. Because I do get, I mean, you do know what happens for the most part, but you don't know how he's going to put it together.
There's 30 plus Bosch books, right? Way more.
Oh, there's a ton.
Yeah.
There's a ton.
They're like Grisham level.
And the
like
more recent ones, actually, like he's working cold cases. He's gotten new partners like Jay. So you're totally safe.
And he's
on
met
those.
The Lincoln lawyer before too, which I'm kind of interested
yes,
in.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, is that
yes,
also?
His brother is the Lincoln lawyer. Like, I don't think they know that, but the Lincoln lawyer's, you know, Michael Connelly books.
Yeah.
And his name is Mickey, I think. And he is Bosch's like biological brother.
Really?
I believe so. That's or like half brother.
Okay. That's crazy.
Same prostitute mother. Or same
Saint John father.
I guess they have the same mom, and they just got put in separate orphanages.
Are they both orphans? Wow, I gotta look that up.
Yeah, I think they are both orphans.
Again, another topic we should maybe do another podcast about. But I'm knee deep in re-listening to the First Law series.
Yeah,
but I think the Bosch books are going to be my like summer go to, my sauna read. If
they're really fun, and he does do like turn by turn directions through Los Angeles in some of the books, which is like really fun.
I think you showed me a passage about birds once.
Yeah, then the one I just read was like. He was like working a cold case of someone who had been murdered like during the riots.
Oh, wow.
And so he's having like memories of when he was like a beat cop working the riot control forces.
Oh, interesting.
And like where he was, and then also like putting together these pieces from like a 20-year-old case.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I will check that out. I will check. And, I just black out. That's how the episode's going to end.
Fox gave us a stroke.
Finally. Three podcasts in one day, we'll do it to you. Rogers, do you have any parting Bosch thoughts?
Nah.
Okay. Well, where can High and Mighty listeners... First of all, High and Mighty listeners, watch Bosch and get back to us. All right? Let us know what you're thinking about Bosch.
It's a fun show. Watch it without judgment. I feel like I have talked to people who are like, oh, you like that? I think you can be a little like... hoity-toity or whatever about it because it is like it does do a lot of cliches and it's not sort of aspiring to be like The Wire or like real like high art.
You do
it's
have to put your phone away. You got to put your phone away and you got to give yourself over to the speed of the show.
Yeah, and it's a weird, because it's a weird speed in a good way.
Yeah, the pacing is different from most shows. Yeah. Because it's sort of like a Law & Order episode, like you said, but it also is
eight
a
hours.
Full season long story.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's like an 8-hour Law & Order episode. It moves, but I think you're right. And I think it's a procedural that... is gritty rather than Castle or The Mental. Right? Like that's the only thing is that it's like they play it for reality a little bit. But in this reality, we still get to have like a cowboy cop who's a total badass and 5'1" and but also Titus Welliver fucking does a hell of a job. His eyebrows are awesome.
I love him.
He's so tan for a cop who seems to work 24 hours a day nonstop.
Yeah, it's sunny here.
Hey, I noticed that now. Would you say Los Angeles is a character in this show?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could also argue it's kind of a love letter to Los Angeles.
Wow. I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting look at it. Rogers, where can people find you online, or do you have any podcasts you want to promote?
You can't really find me online.
But I mean, besides like CIA databases.
Yeah, if you're like a Chinese hacker, you probably can. Or you know, who knows who's
Asian
hacking who.
Hacker.
Who, yeah, I mean, maybe it's a Russian, maybe it's just some fat guy.
Maybe it's just some fat guys in basements hacking Rogers' accounts.
You probably are aware that I do an Action Boys podcast with Gabrus. If you're listening to this, if you don't, go back on the High Mighty feed, listen to a few Action Boys episodes.
You know what, don't even listen, just go to patreon.com/actionboys and pay money and join.
I'm a subscriber.
Ah, we got a fucking
we
got not a listener, a subscriber.
No.
So truly just a patron, like hooking up your friends with a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Can't complain.
If you're an under the Earwolf paywall, I did a podcast with Sean. You can listen to that.
Hollywood Masterclass season 2 coming out
At some point.
Stitcher Premium, yeah. Promo code TV for a free month.
They're in the books.
Stitcher Premium, yeah, or promo code The Boys. Maybe.
You don't know, you're not positive.
I don't know. It might be handbook because it might be like grandfathered in from when our code was handbook. But either way, you know, try them all.
What about you, Clem Dog?
Well, please listen to Hollywood Handbook over at Earwolf and Hollywood Handbook Pro version, which is behind the paywall. Get back there and start listening.
You can get Masterclass, you can get the Layman podcast, and also Raised by TV episodes early if you want a threefer. Mm. If you like this conversation so much that you want to pursue all of our behind the paywall fronts, you could do that with just one purchase at Stitcher Premium.
Yeah, and then I guess, I'm doing some really great stuff on Twitter lately. It's at Sean Clements, and I'm just hitting my stride.
I do actually want to say it's weird that you are doing Twitter now.
Been engaging more lately?
Yeah.
I'm unemployed.
Like, I need a job.
I'm looking at it all the time. I'm just like, what am I doing?
You can always tell when I'm stoned as fuck because that's when I have 4 tweets and 3 retweets of some other joke. And I'm like, why did I retweet this joke? It's hardly good. And I just really laughed at it in the moment and wanted to give it up. And now I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
So you're at what's your Twitter handle again? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's at Sean Clements.
At Sean Clements. At Ben _ Rogers.
I don't use that.
I know. At Gabriel. Follow at Action Boys Pod.
No, follow me. I'd love to get some follows. I'm never gonna. I mean, I'd love to poke up in your feed in like 7 months.
Hi, this is Ben's friend Sean. Has anyone seen Ben tweeting from his account? He only has 1 tweet in the last 6 months, and it's like, hi, this is Ben's family. We found his phone next to a hole in the desert. just going on a long drive. Guys, check out Bosch. I'm at Gabrus on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, congrats on that, man.
Hey, man, that was a big get
for
me.
Long fight.
Been a long fight, yeah. Gabria Ganelli, who joined in April 2005, fucking, or 2008 or something like that, she fucked me. But now I win. Cool, right? Pretty intense. Listen to Action Boys, listen to Raised by TV, watch Bosch. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.